You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set.
Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, all of my upcoming show dates, videos of my stand-up comedy, and my contact information. If you're looking for a comedian for your next event, please reach out to me. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a good review. Please subscribe to it. There'll be a new episode for you guys every single Wednesday. Thank you so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, episode 14, remembering the greatest wrestling video game of all time, WWF No Mercy for the Nintendo 64. When I started this podcast, that was one of the games I was the most excited to get on here and talk about. I think anyone that played Nintendo 64 back in the day remembers how fun it was to have four people on the couch playing sports or shooting or Mario Kart or, in this case, wrestling. And I played all the Nintendo 64 wrestling games obsessively, and they peaked and perfected the formula with WWF No Mercy. I love this game. Sorry, that's my phone. I love this game so much. Honestly, I haven't played it in about 20 years, like since the Nintendo 64 died, and I'm kind of worried about playing it again. I haven't. I kind of hope they were like, the whole reason I want a Nintendo 64 classic from Nintendo is I'm hoping it's easily hackable as the NES and the SNES was, and I can put the wrestling games on there and go back in time and just like, ah, it's the best wrestling game from the best era of wrestling in one of the best times of my life, which is when I was like 16, 17, and I had no responsibilities. Let's just get right into it. My buddy Andre's here this week. He's a big pro wrestling fan. He's a gamer like me, and we sit down and nerd out about WWF No Mercy. Diggity dog. Let's go. I have to be honest, we are recording now. This is one of the games I'm the most excited to do this podcast about, because the sheer number of hours of my life that I could probably speak another language if I had all the hours back I pumped into No Mercy.
Okay, so for me, I never owned it. I didn't have an N64. My history of playing it is with your little brother.
Okay.
Because like probably after you got done with the game, this is probably 2002, 2003.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably after you were long done with that game. Me and him would bust out the N64, play this game, and we tag team matches every time. Oh. That and WrestleMania 2000. And all we do is Doomsday Device. Get him in the corner. Doomsday Device. Yeah. Get him in the corner. Doomsday Device. That's all we
did. Dude, I'll tell you, Andre, okay, first of all, anyone that's listening to this, obviously, if you're listening to this week's episode, you're probably a wrestling video game fan. I also think if you don't think that pro wrestling video games peaked on the Nintendo 64, you're crazy.
Okay, I'll argue with that because I still play them to this day, and I think they're just two different beasts. Like they're
of course they are.
Those were some of the funnest games.
Dude, like I played them on the NES, I played them on the SNES, I played them on the Nintendo 64. I've played them since. Like I play WWE most years. When I say they peaked, I don't necessarily mean that it's still the greatest wrestling game ever, although I think it is. But what I do mean is that that was where they figured out how to make a pro wrestling video game.
Yeah,
I like agree more with that 100%. So than any other play. It was like they
finally found a thing, and it's because of the system and where they were at. Because like also SmackDown came out the same around the same time.
Yep,
and I think a lot of that was. Like SmackDown came out for PlayStation. This in WrestleMania 2000 came out for N64, along with all those terrible WCW games.
Yep.
But they
although okay, sorry, just and we won't go into these ones right now. I'd like to do a separate episode on Revenge. But WCW World Tour and WCW NWO Revenge were both great games too. Mm. All they were the seed. They planted the seed with World Tour. It started to sprout with Revenge. They started watering it with WrestleMania 2000, and then it blossomed with No Mercy.
But the thing is, you got to also remember. This is the first THQ game from, I think. No.
No, THQ made all four of them. Like those four games.
Because they were with WCW before.
Yeah.
And then they came over.
They went to the WWF.
And that's, I think, the best thing. Because if you look at the games prior to THQ coming on with WWF,
they're like not Warzone and Attitude. Were by Acclaim.
Yeah.
And they were not as good.
But once you have THQ developing the games, because like you said, the WCW games were planted the seed, but I think they perfected that style of game.
They did.
With this one, because I don't know, I literally downloaded an emulator.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got my PlayStation controller to sync up with it, and I'm playing through it, and I literally was playing through this last night.
Mm-hmm.
And by God, I was like, this is terrible in my head. Every being that plays all the games now,
right?
But then I'm playing through. I'm like, this is so much fun.
It is so much fun.
It's so classic. And like, I literally played The Rock versus Terry, and I lost. And I played as The Rock. She beat me. But that's also I was still learning controls of the game.
Yeah,
and then I like, hey. Best part about this is you go in, you play championship mode, and because you have to earn all the titles. If you want to play them just in exhibition mode, you have to earn them.
You need to go through you have to win them first.
Yeah, you have to win them all. So I decided I'm going to do the light heavyweight title is my first one. And I get in there, and it lets me pick anybody.
You can win it with like Mark Henry.
I picked Rikishi.
Yeah, you can win it with anybody.
The best part is taking Rikishi through the light heavyweight. And literally week two, because you go and I lost, there's a number one contender match in the first week, it's a four-way, I lost to Eddie Guerrero. He hit me with a German suplex.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny.
So Eddie Guerrero, German suplex, Rikishi.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But it's video games, obviously.
Of course.
And so I go in the second week, and literally Triple H comes out, he's like, you want to try to have a title match in my show? No. And he literally strips Dean Malenko, who's the champion at this point in the game, he strips him of the title. Triple H in 2000 era, he strips William Lego the title. I'm like, Jesus, he had that much power back then.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it hilarious. It's just like having Triple H is the character you pick to strip the title.
Yeah,
and just the coincidence of it now.
Yeah,
is hilarious.
Well, because there's two main things I wanted to talk about when it comes to this game, and one was the control system, and one was the career mode. And so we'll do the career mode first. One of the things I love the fucking career mode in that game. I feel like something I've wanted out of a WWE game for years that they still really haven't quite mastered is a career mode where I create myself and I go through my whole career and get into the Hall of Fame and everything. And I know they're trying to do it.
Last year probably was the strongest so far.
But it's still not.
Because you started in NXT, then you made it to the roster.
Sure. But Hall of Fame, still no, not but, quite yeah. there.
Because like, I watched some videos on this year. That you literally start in an indie promotion.
Yeah.
Like literally.
The concept is great, but I want to play.
This one, yeah.
I want a 20-year career where every year the Royal Rumble winner gets that title shot, where every year the Money in the Bank exists. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But with No Mercy's career mode, it was linear with options. But I fucking loved how they showed you the tree. And it was like, whether you win or lose this week, it'll continue.
Said in my first week, it said, like when I did the Fatal 4-Way, it said, if you don't win, the story will continue, will just be adjusted accordingly.
Yeah.
Was exactly what it said on the screen.
I love that.
And to me, that's all. And if you actually play through all the different titles, the stories are similar.
Sure.
But they each have their own distinct, they have their distinctive change in each story.
Which I love it.
Which is huge for a cartridge game.
Yeah, man.
Which is, obviously, they don't have they're not a lot of memory to have.
Yeah.
All like was it 9 different championships, 8 or 9 something I think like that, and have a story where yes, similar on how they linearly run, but each have their own changes to each story.
Yeah, and they used actual stories. Like when you play for the WWF Championship, it's the WrestleMania 2000 McMahon Helmsley era story. Yeah. The only difference they made was the Big Show's not in that game, and they put Stevie Richards in the Big Show spot.
That's funny.
Which I'm like, I'm a little bit like, why Stevie Richards?
But I love that because like it's who would expect Stevie Richards in that position?
It was right to censor. I love right to censor. Stevie Richards.
So he's wearing the tie and the and the shirt and the pants.
But I loved it. Like I love that the storylines and the way they put every title in, and every title has all these different stories. Like it's got a ton of replay value.
And for me,
to it.
For this game, this is when I became a fan in 1999, just before a little before this game came out.
Yeah,
this made me feel that love again. Trust me, I hated playing, trying to do the controls. I was so mad.
Yeah,
trying to wrestle, like losing to Terry as The Rock, and like I'm just dominating her the whole match. But then all of a sudden, she hit me with a body slam.
Right,
I guess the pin. And I'm hitting the kick out, but I can't. It won't let me kick out.
Right,
and she gets the 3, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
That's I think a fault of I don't have an N64 controller.
I'm sure that's a lot of it.
But the thing is, I mapped my PS4 controller out on my controller thing.
Right,
but
right.
You know, there's always bugs doing that, but. It's the nostalgia of going back and playing something like that. Like it frustrates the hell out of me, but it's like I'm getting to play as The Rock in his prime. Yeah, I'm getting
playing
Rikishi through light heavyweight.
Yeah, because that's what I was gonna say. That's something else to remember about that game that I hadn't thought originally to bring up is like the fucking roster of stars they had in that game is so good. Like I know like in today's games you get like 300, like they have all the Hall of Famers, they have all the current guys, they have all the NXT, like I get that, but like for the nostalgia purposes of playing that game,
yeah,
oh dude, like the roster you can pick
and
from,
then the SmackDown Mall on top of it all where you can go and buy more characters.
Yeah,
like you have to earn the money to get them, but you can get like so many more characters.
And the creator wrestler was awesome.
Yeah, and this is actually the first one that had a female creator wrestler.
Yeah.
You couldn't create female wrestlers before this game in any of them. I think SmackDown, because it came out right after this, or around the same time or after, because this was the first game to ever feature female. No, yeah, I think it was SmackDown 2 that did for the first one for the PlayStation. But this is the first female creator wrestler in any wrestling game.
It was rad, man. And then like you said, in addition to the sick roster, like you mentioned how once you finish the title mode, then you can use the titles and put them on the line and stuff
Dude,
I remember playing with my friends in Cold Lake.
So much fun.
And like I don't know how many of them are going to listen to this, but like Hatfield, the Beak, and Chris and all them. And we would like fucking for hours just like okay, you have to defend your intercontinental title. Like we would like have like these storylines like amongst ourselves because you could put these titles on the line in any of these different matches and every, you know what I mean, and they were all available. And
like, don't get me wrong, I had some other friends who owned this game back when it first came out and everything, and I played with them and it was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
But then like I just like my best memory, you know, is with your brother just going after the tag team titles like through tag, and just that Doomsday Device was our favorite thing to do,
and
it's so much fun to sit there with your friends. It's that, I guess you can't do it anymore. You don't do it anymore.
Sitting on the couch playing together is dead.
And it's sitting in that room with your best friend playing through tag team or sitting there with multiple friends and doing fatal four ways and fighting each other, and you're on the couch shoving each other, hey, don't hit me, and I thought we were teaming up and things like that. That made those games, I think, that much more fun.
100%.
The thing is, N64 does not have, to me, great replayability.
No, I can't agree.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at Crash Plan. Visit crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. Crash Plan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission: to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
I agree with that enough.
But it's the nostalgia you feel when you play those old games for the feeling you want back from playing them in those days.
Like GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, those sports games, and then you said Mario Party, and then like you said, when you throw in the wrestling games. I tried playing
Mario Golf, terrible.
Of course it is. But those wrestling games at the time, it was like each one I got, because I played each one loyally, and by the time they got to No Mercy, the amount of stuff they packed in, like you said, like the 3D is the in creation the 3D suite. Is in No Mercy, yeah, the 3D was the best.
This is the creation suite. The creation suite in that game is amazing. Just when you go to your move set, just all the I look at it, and today it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it is.
Trying to build a character,
I find it overwhelming now.
But because I literally use the same moves as I do from every previous year now. But I'm going through it and I'm like, this is awesome, because it gave you probably per move gave you 5 to 10 options.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy more, but I'm playing just before I gun it. Maybe five to ten options depending on the move, on which move you were checking. But if you don't actually edit your moves, it's either you have a body slam or a forearm to the back. That's all, every move. It literally set for those. And I forgot to use that. I ended up going back when I'm playing my character, but I found it so engaging. Like everything you can put onto your character, like it's actually. It was pretty phenomenal.
It was the first pro wrestling game that had a creator wrestler that was like, you could create a wrestler. Like, you could create your own character. Like, because when that game came out, I was in the peak of my backyard wrestling days in Cold Lake Championship Wrestling. And all of us, we created our whole federation in that game.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun to do almost like an invasion of the WWF with our guys.
Yeah.
And all of us, because my character was I was a little smart ass. Like, they gave me the worm. I did Scotty Too Hotty's worm and all that kind of shit. But then we had other guys, our buddy Hatfield was Conflict, and he was our Triple H. And so, and they came across as two incredibly distinct conflict came across as this big, strong badass with these mean moves and these mean taunts. And my guy came across as this high-flying jackass that would do the worm and dance like a jerk and stuff like that. But he was so good at making you be able to create a distinct character.
Yeah, and the thing is, you didn't have, like, and you could take, if you were that distinct character, you could take Scotty Juhadi's moves, but you could take another guy's. Like, my favorite character I was playing through was Taka Michinoku.
I love Taka Michinoku.
And because I'm playing through this, and I was in that Fatal 4, and then Taka's in there. I'm like, holy crap, because that dude is still involved in high-level pro wrestling today. He's working for New Japan with Suzuki Gun, and he's Zack Sabre Jr.'s, like, mouthpiece at the moment. And I'm playing this game going, oh my god, that's Taka in his prime.
Yeah, man.
It's so much fun. Like, yeah. Just go, especially when I played that back in the day, like, it was so much fun fighting with your friends, trying to beat each other.
Yeah.
Like, remember, you pull the controller out just so you can pin your buddy.
You can move and pin your buddy.
And that would cause a fist fight.
Yeah. And then,
but it was, I don't know. And it was just, I think, one of the best made wrestling games at the time.
Is. And I think that something that helps No Mercy too is like, it's arguable, but like they quite arguably cashed in and made a game during the absolute peak of popularity of pro wrestling and the WWF.
For sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can, there's no denying that like a game they make today is going to be a more in-depth, strategic, probably better made game than No Mercy.
Well, yeah, but they just it's just how far technology has come.
Like, I remember WWE 13 or 14, one of the ones a few years ago really cashed in on the Attitude Era.
Oh,
and it was so.
That was the one with the Stone Cold.
You did the Stone Cold like Stone retrospective. Cold
retrospective, and stuff. Yeah, and they've since done it more.
Yeah,
like this year coming out is a Daniel Bryan retrospective, right. But that's not going to cash back to the old fan, but that cashes to the new fans.
Yeah, and I think that really helps No Mercy's legacy.
Yeah.
Is you're like, this is the definitive wrestling game from the definitive era of pro wrestling, because if you grew up back then watching it,
yeah,
most people, myself included, have I like wrestling to this day, but I've never had as much fun nightly watching pro wrestling as I did during that era.
Oh, no freaking
way. It was so awesome. You know what I mean? Like, it just,
yeah,
like that, like when every single wrestler on the card mattered, and you look at that No Mercy roster, and in addition to the main eventers of like The Rock and Austin and Triple H, and it had Biker Taker.
Yeah.
It was Biker.
Yeah. It was
fucking Biker Taker.
The American
it,
Badass.
It had my favorite version of Kane, where he has the like kind of see through slits in the top and both arms showing.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
my favorite Kane.
No, but it's just, there's so much to that game. Like,
yeah,
every, like, all the characters on the unlock. But, like, Shawn Michaels is, who actually was retired at
that
point.
He was retired, yeah.
He's an unlockable.
Yeah.
Like, and there's, I can't remember who, I was looking through the list, but there's so many great unlockables. Like, and there's legends in the unlockable era.
Yeah, Andre the Giant's in it.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It was the start of what we've gotten into now.
Yeah.
I think is what start, it's a start, and Championship mode was so much fun. Like, just being able and having distinct different stories, even though they all followed the same pattern.
Yeah.
It's how like, everybody interacted with each other.
Right. Because when you played, I can't remember exactly on WrestleMania 2000, but I know like on WCW and NWO Revenge, you could pick one of the five, like it was the World, the US, the TV, the Cruiserweight, or the tag titles. You could pick one. But it was, all it is was you won like nine matches. And then you had a title match. Like, it was no story. It was just like, win a match.
This one was a story.
Where it was like an in-depth story that,
and
like...
And if you lost, it took you another path.
Which was awesome.
If you play it and you can win every single match,
yeah,
you get a certain story. But if you play through and you're losing and then winning and then losing and then winning and you win the critical ones,
yeah,
it's a completely different story.
In the world title one, how you do in the Rumble changes how your story plays out.
If you can last longer, but even if you still lose,
yeah.
But if you're one of the people that, if you last in that Rumble longer, you get a better position coming out. But if you win it, obviously you get your
title
shot.
And don't. I might be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure there were distinct storylines if you went into it as the champion. If you decided to play it, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you just couldn't pick the champion.
I'm not sure.
Doesn't matter. It was great. The cream mode was great.
Yeah.
And then you tack on the matches. And the biggest addition to No Mercy from the previous ones was the ladder match.
Yeah.
And I don't give a crap what anyone says to this day. A WWE, because I've played almost all of them, a WWE or a pro wrestling game has not done the ladder match as well as No Mercy's did. Because when you play them now, they just feel loose. The ladder's kind of floppy, and sometimes it's hard to figure out where you got to be to get the briefcase, and where, it's hard to move and knock
over.
Hit the
button repeatedly, grab the title.
No Mercy was so tight, and I'll tell you, there was nothing, like, our favorite match to play, and like that was the only time you got a little bit of slowdown, was when you'd play like a four-player, because you could do like a tag team ladder match, triple threat ladder match. But when we would just go tag team ladder matches or like four-way ladder matches, and there was only one ladder. Which I love too.
Yeah.
I think there's only one. There wasn't like infinite of them anyways.
No, where this game you can like pull it like 26 ladders.
Yeah. My favorite thing to do on the entire planet was to get a hold of that ladder and just run. And just have three guys chasing me and I'm swinging this giant ladder. Yep. And it was like the ladder match mode in that game. Anyone that's listening to this fucking knows. Oh, the ladder match mode in that game was so perfect. And then the way that the ladder match ends where you do the Jeff Hardy... Terry Invitational like fall off the ladder when you get it is so
every
perfect.
Time there's no time where you just pull it down and you can raise it up every time. It's
you always
Jeff Hardy
take that
fall.
Bump, which is one of my absolute favorite bumps in wrestling history.
Yeah, one of the best bumps of all time. But it's just so much fun to watch every time your guy just like you crush
that game
with
man.
It's so good.
And you could put guys through tables for the first like the announce tables for the first time, and so many of the weapons, and you could fight into the backstage. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, that's backstage.
You could fight to the backstage, and you could go into the fucking like the APA's bar or out to like the parking lot and stuff.
So much fun because it expanded on the world of wrestling video games. That's the thing, because before this, like I don't know, everything seems so blocky. Like I'm pretty sure Attitude had a backstage version, but you couldn't go backstage.
No,
you had to start.
Yeah,
you started in the backstage mode. Like you start. Yeah. It was backstage backstage match. That was all it was. It wasn't like you're fighting in the arena. Like say you do a no count out or no you turn no count outs off and stuff. You literally fight into the backstage.
You could put the hardcore title on the line. Yeah. Play as like Crash. With the hardcore title and just fight to the back and have like a hardcore match. Much fun.
I love Crash. I thought he was always one of my, because he was so over the top and playing as him on that game. I'm like, this is so much fun.
And that's another example of how good wrestling was back then. Like who didn't love the 24/7 Crash Holly hardcore title stuff? It was so perfect.
There's some, I have issues with some of it. But for the majority, it was so much fun.
The concept of it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, the concept and some of the execution was great back then, but some of it's like you want to punch yourself in the eye repeatedly.
It got to be a little much.
But
this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
It's the nostalgia, like especially for me going back and playing that and feeling that want to like punch my friend in the arm while you're playing.
So
I don't know.
So I mean, you take the fantastic title modes and the fact that you can put those titles on the line anytime you want. So you could play for hours and hours with your friends. You could have your own federation if you wanted to.
Yep.
And then you add in the controls, and this is a system that they've tweaked for years. And I can't remember if by No Mercy it was still in where you could flick the joystick and just automatically get out of a pin. I know that was in some of the early
ones. Is that how you
ones.
Get out of a pin? Because I was pressing L.
You cheat. That's cheating. But for, I know in Revenge, if you hit the joystick, you always kicked out.
Really?
And it was cheating.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah. But
I'm really gonna have to try that when I'm gonna go home play this.
I'm positive and, it was
and
still
try
in
flicking
that
the joystick.
But the controls were so. What I loved about it was like at their core they were very basic. You could tap punch in any direction to do these different punches, or you could hold punch and hold any direction to do these stronger like punches and kicks and stuff.
Something like that, yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah,
it was the same thing with all your grapple moves.
Yeah.
You could tap the button in any direction or hold it in any direction.
You hit the direction and hit A, and you had your like a body slam or your forearm club.
Yeah.
But if you held A and pressed the direction, it would be, save that forearm club,
yeah,
would become a suplex.
Yeah.
Or would become,
which
yeah,
I love.
Which is the same concept they still have today. Like you have your regular grapple and your yeah, strong, your medium yeah, grapple and your strong
this
grapple.
This is where like,
yeah,
this is where the seeds were planted, you know?
Yeah.
And then you add in the fact that, and I'm positive that maybe WrestleMania 2000 was the first, I know in Revenge you couldn't, but you could reverse everything.
Yeah,
with the exception of finishers.
Trust me, I was reversing. No, dude, you can reverse finishers in this game.
Oh yeah, you can.
Because Eddie Guerrero, for some reason, Eddie Guerrero got his finisher bar and hit me with that German where you roll over, then you're on kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
roll, you're like over top of the guy.
Yeah.
You're bridging over top of the guy. That was his finisher in that match for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, they're.
But when he tried it the first time, I reversed out of it and like literally he lifts up and then I fell on top of his kick. My Rikishi kick fell on top of him.
Okay,
but
yeah,
you can reverse finishers in this game.
Like,
but I guess the reversal rate, I think, is lower. Like
right,
it's
right,
harder
right,
to reverse them, but you can.
And that added a whole other level to it, that you could hit reversals. And it wasn't just luck. You had to hit the button at just the right time.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, there's no indicator.
No
playing,
indicator.
I had, where now it says, it tells you to hit L2
yeah,
or tells you to hit
it'll
R2.
Tell you.
But there is no indication. So if your buddies starting to hit you, you're just smashing that. Like, I think it was L. I think L was the reversal.
It was
button,
one of the shoulder buttons, yeah.
And I'm just smashing. I'm just like hitting the button as I'm playing this game, just to get out of it. You're just repeatedly hitting
so
it.
It was so tight.
Hoping that you're going to get reversed.
Yeah.
You're going to get the reversal.
It was so tight. And then you had the momentum meters. And like if one guy, and it was like, and there were times where it felt unfair. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
I was in the four way, and I'm just continuously beating up on Grandmaster Sexy.
Oh,
and,
I love Grandmaster Sexy.
And my bar kept getting lower.
Yeah.
And I'm hitting every different move I can. And somehow everybody else's bar is going up, including Grandmaster Sexy's. Mine's going down. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah. Well, there were instances, like I'm pretty sure if you taunted outside of the ring, it would hurt your spirit. But if you did it inside the ring, it would go up.
Yeah, that's
there
the
was
only
certain
reason
aspects.
I could get my, it was the only way I was getting
but
my taunt. And I think to go back up, I was hitting, continuously hitting taunts.
I liked the concept of it because there'd be times where like you'd be in like that dark blue like no attitude or whatever the fuck they call it. I think it was the attitude.
If you taunt enough, you can get yourself way back up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Really fast.
But you'd be down to like nothing, and your opponent would be getting close to special, and then all you need is one reversal, which were harder to hit when your attitude got lower.
Yeah.
But one reversal, and then it was just like taunt, taunt, taunt.
That's why.
As soon as he's down, just start taunting, 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 because you'd start to get the crowd. It was like you're getting the crowd fired up, right? And I get what they were trying to do with it. Is it was so cool. And then when you got your special, you had to flick the stick. You had to flick the joystick to hit your special.
I think so, yeah.
Which I'm positive I can remember. Because I remember being like, because I used to play Stone Cold a lot. And it was so satisfying to like strong grapple someone from the front with your special and they know what's coming. And then just flick that stick. And the stunner looked so good in that game. And I wasn't even the biggest Stone Cold fan. I like The Rock infinitely more than Stone Cold.
Oh, for sure.
But I thought that was great. Oh, and that's another thing. I'm sorry. I'm excited. That's another thing they did that was so cool was when The Rock would do the people's elbow, we would take off the elbow pad
and
throw it.
And this would be the first time I think any, like you would actually,
you'd see his elbow pad come down
but, like,
and
if,
change.
If you actually play farther after that, the elbow pad's back.
Yeah.
But he actually takes it off and throws it. Sorry, excuse me. The game does put it back on because it's just the way the graphics have to work.
Yeah. But it's
where
still
literally
sweet.
It still takes it off,
yeah,
which is pretty big for a game. And say this was a game or two before, it would just be him going down his arm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then pretend and like looking like he was throwing something and then doing the move.
It's the same as Mankind puts Sako on.
Which
is the most satisfying thing in the world. Because when you're playing with one of your buddies and he's losing his shit because he can't do anything about it, and he just sees you taking that sock, and there's no play-by-play in it because it's Nintendo 64.
No,
but like
voice,
you can literally hear Jerry Lawler in your head being like, he's got that stinky, dirty sock!
Yep.
And he's putting it on. Oh, fuck. What a fucking game. I gotta, like, I'm same as you. I don't feel the Nintendo 64's age very well. And
this,
I'm honestly,
this is one I didn't like. Didn't really mind playing. Yes, there was frustrating trying to get used to those controls again.
Of course.
And the reversals and trying to reverse it, it's just a pain in the ass. For now, it's just like you just got to time when a guy hits a move. But
if they, dude, if they release a Nintendo 64 classic. Don't get me wrong.
I think because now that Sony has their classic out, announcing, like literally, it's been announced, and now you have you after the success of the NES and Super NES, which I'm looking over in this room where we're sitting, and I see them both sitting on a shelf.
It's like it's coming.
And you
like,
have to know it's coming.
It might be announced before this podcast goes live because it'll be a few weeks. But like, there's no way No Mercy will be on it because they'll never get that license and all those licenses, which is fine. But
the thing is, between THQ, I think being dead at this point because they were W's developer for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they went out. Now 2K's doing it.
You'd have to get a hold of the licenses, all the likenesses of the wrestlers that are in
licenses, because certain ones are still owned by the Fed, but there's others like Stone Cold Steve Austin. He owns certain rights to his likeness because literally he sells his own stuff on pros and tees.
Yeah.
So you have to get his. You have to get. There's a lot of people.
Chris Benoit is in it.
Then that you'd want to. At this point, they would edit him out of the game.
Like so, No Mercy will never be on this classic.
That's the problem.
But if the classic, like both of those, we're pointing at my NES and my SNES classic boxes right now, are so incredibly easily hackable. I've hacked both of them.
Yeah, you can put anything on.
If they make the Nintendo 64 as easily hackable, I honestly would buy a Nintendo 64 classic. Purely to hack it and put No Mercy on it.
Put No Mercy.
I would pay $100.
There's a lot of
games
you can put on there. Like,
yeah.
You
know. I would pay $100 just to get a hold of one, just to add No Mercy and to have those controllers and be able to play
it. I'll do the same thing when the PS1 comes out. I will buy one and I will hack it and I will see if I can get Final Fantasy 9 on there.
Oh, God, man. It's the best. For anyone that was kind of like mediocre on this week's episode, because maybe you're not a pro wrestling fan, but you were like, I like the podcast, I want to listen. I'm like, I got to go for a cold shower right now because this game, I have more emotional high feelings for No Mercy than hardly any video game ever.
Some of the best times of my life. It was the camaraderie. That was what made these games.
The thought, like the memories I have of sitting in my friends' basements playing No Mercy with them are like some of my absolute favorite gaming memories of all time.
Oh,
so much so fun. Good. What a fucking great game. If you had to score No Mercy out of 10.
8.5. Like, and I don't say that. I think it's also for me replaying it again.
I was going to say,
that affects me.
I'm not upset at it. That's fine score.
It's 8.5 because it's such a great game, but I know what comes out. I think it's the fact that I know what comes after it.
Having not played it since its prime, I give it a 9.8. I'm sure if I played it now, I wouldn't give it it. Part of me doesn't want to play it now because of that. But then another part of me is like, I could control Kurt Angle and wrestle Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
It's just got to remember, I only play this at my friends' houses. I was like, for me, I thought myself SmackDown and SmackDown 2 were superior games to me.
Sure.
I think that's probably affects why I put this 8.5. But it's, don't get me wrong, it's 8.5, but that's still, it's an amazing game.
SmackDown's great too. Like here comes the, I mean, we won't get into it, but here
I'm just talking about SmackDown and SmackDown 2 for
I
the
played both of them. Yeah, I played both of them.
That's because I was a PlayStation kid.
Yep.
But like, I love these. I love that game. I love this game. Like,
it's that era, dude. It's that era. The games, everything from that era, just are the best.
Definitely.
Thanks for doing this, Andre.
Always happy.
I got to go have a cold shower now. Okay. Thanks, buddy. That's going to do it for this week's episode, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Andre, thank you so much for coming over. And all of you, thank you so much for the support. My numbers keep going up a little bit every week, and I really, really appreciate it. If you like the show, please leave us a good review. Please tell a friend. If you want to talk some video games, drop me a line. Let's find a game we both know, and come on and let's talk about it. I got some great episodes coming up. There won't be any days off. You're going to get a new episode every Wednesday. Next week, my buddy Mark and I go back to the Game Boy. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to drop too many details on it right now, but we nerd out pretty good for a solid half hour. So that's it. I'm going to go. Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate it, and I will check in with you next week. Take it easy.